Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. Stocks are down. Tech, healthcare, and consumer-focused stocks all trade lower. Investors aren't very happy with Apple's numbers. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. Apple's down 0.9% at 146.20. S&P 500 is down 0.3%, down 6. The Dow is down 0.1%, down 25. Let's look at the NASDAQ, down 0.5%, down 32. The 10-year is down 2/32, the yield 2.28%. West Texas Intermediate is down 0.25%, $47.55 a barrel. COMEX Gold's down 0.6%, $12.49.10 an ounce. The yen $1.12.30, the euro $1.9.17, the pound $1.29.11. That's your Bloomberg Business Flash. Bloomberg Markets continues with Lisa and Tim.
Thank you very much, Greg Jarrett. Facebook will be releasing its results after the close of trading. And here to tell us a little bit more about the social media giant, whose shares are up more than 32% so far this year, is Shira Ovideh, Bloomberg Gadfly technology columnist. Shira, great to have you with us. So tell us about Facebook. What's going to be important for investors to pay attention to?
Well, I think the important thing at Facebook, as always, is the rate of revenue growth. At the company said just about 6 months ago that this was going to be kind of a year of transition for Facebook, that beginning later this year, it's going to dial back what has been a major driver of revenue growth there, which is them shoving more and more and more ads into the Facebook newsfeed. And that's going to be less of a revenue driver going forward. So the question is, can Facebook pick up the slack with other pieces of their revenue growth machine? And that's something that investors are really closely watching this year.
Shira, how much do you think that investors care about how Facebook addresses some of the concerns about live violence that we have been hearing about and other abuses of the social media platform?
I think it's a fair question. I think it matters to investors to the extent that it has an effect on either usage. Do people use Facebook less because they're turned off by whatever fake news or horrifying things they're seeing in videos and their news feed? So if it affects usage, investors care. And if it affects advertisers, again, do advertisers want their, you know, Pampers ads next to horrific violence that might be showing up live on Facebook video? Then they care. And you're obviously seeing Facebook cares. They're taking more and more moves to address fake news and today talking right. more about weeding out violence on their live video feeds.
Well, we'll soon find out what's going to be happening with Facebook. Thank you so much. Shira Ovideh is a Bloomberg Gadfly columnist focused on technology and will be, I'm sure, writing something very insightful after the Facebook results come out. I want to bring in Brian Nider. He's president, he's partner of Leading Edge Capital, an investment firm is based in New York, manages about $1 billion. And, you know, Brian, I'm sure you're very interested to hear what Facebook also says after the bell today. But I want to just go back in time to just a little bit to Apple and the results that they posted. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about how Apple is transforming or whether it's successfully addressing the sort of shift toward software a little bit more than hardware, as it appears that the iPhone sales are not going to accelerate anytime soon?
Sure, no problem. I mean, I think that they, you know, they reported yesterday, and I think that they were beating earnings expectations, but I think that the revenue expectations were a little bit light. iPhone shipment data was a little bit light. I think that they were estimating something like 52 million iPhones shipped, and it came in at around 50 million. But my feeling on the matter is that, you know, look, there has been a little bit of a slowdown in terms of demand. If you look at year-over-year growth in terms of the demand for iPhones, there's been a little bit of a slowdown, and that just has to do with upgrade cycles. When do people perceive that there will be a new feature, a new type of iPhone coming out, and then how long are they going to wait to actually make that upgrade? So it's, you know, I have an iPhone 7, am I going to upgrade it in 2017, 18, 19? And based upon those upgrade cycles, that's sort of where their revenue is going to hit. And so, you know, our opinion on the matter is, you know, from the hardware perspective, when there's a really, really material shift in kind of what the iPhone is offering, that's when you'll see a big bump to the company and to the growth prospects. And in, as an example of that, there's been some talk about like wireless charging. You know, that is a monumental shift. If you don't have to be traveling, bringing a charger around with you, always looking for the nearest port, that's a really big thing. And that's when I think that you'll see a huge amount of sort of unnatural adoption that are off cycle, where people say, you know what, I got an iPhone a year ago, it's working perfectly, but it's totally worth getting another one. And that's where we're really excited. As far as the shift towards software, I think that, you know, it's still a hardware company. This is one of the difficulties of investing in hardware companies. You never know when exactly the upgrade cycles are going to happen. In a software company that's like a subscription type model, you have very good outlook as to what they're going to do next year, the year after that, the year after that. In a hardware model, it's just really it's difficult to sort of predict, and that's sort of the difficulty with it. But yeah,
Brian, at Lead Edge, I was looking at the portfolio.
Sure.
And you've got Spotify.
Sure.
You've got Uber.
Sure.
You also have Wayfair, the online furniture store, and also BlaBlaCar, among others. What's the theme? What drives you to make these specific investments?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of take it two ways. One way that we look at it is to look tops down, and we try to figure out ways in which the world is going and what are the dramatic themes that are going to make good
investments. So like ride sharing for the Uber and the blah, blah car investments.
Absolutely. Historically, Uber couldn't have worked because up until 7-8 years ago, not everybody had an iPhone in their pocket and could just summon a taxi or summon a ride or something like that. It just wouldn't have worked. And so you look at that and you say the confluence of mobile plus sort of, you know, being more comfortable with the on-demand economy, That's what sort of led our investments there. And then as far as looking into the future, there's a couple of different themes that we follow. One theme that we think is really big is cloud adoption. So historically, if you go into a big company, most of their infrastructure, like where all their data sits, would sit on servers that are in closets, let's say, or in server rooms or big server farms within their organization. And so, you know, even the smallest of organizations, like a small venture capital fund like ours, they might have, you know, a closet with a bunch of servers that holds all their data. Today, everything's moving to the cloud. So you hear a lot about that, and things are being hosted on Amazon servers or on Microsoft servers. And those are big growth drivers to those businesses. That's a theme that we follow quite closely. And ultimately, within that theme, we try to identify software companies that are going to be able to affect it.
What just to ask, yep. Maybe you could give us the names of two of them. I was, because I'm looking at some on the site. It says Grovo, for example, but that's online learning.
That's
it's different kind of.
Well, these would be forward-looking things. So we don't have as many, you know, like I'll give you a couple, but you know, moving forward, let's say there's a company that we've been following that we really like called Cloud Health Technologies. Cloud Health allows you to essentially look at your overall infrastructure and say, gosh, you know, I'm running a bunch of instances on Amazon AWS. I've got a bunch of stuff running on Microsoft, maybe on Google, I've got my own servers. How do I get a viewpoint as to what's happening in all my different environments to make sure that things aren't going down, that they're performing properly, that I'm getting all of the alerts that I need to be getting? And then how do I kind of manage the rest of my tools with one single pane of glass that I could look through? So that would be an example of a company. You know, they're based in Boston and we really like them. But in addition to that, you know, in our current portfolio, something that's supporting that would be like Duo Security as an example. Duo is a cloud-based security platform that allows, you know, people are logging into their units from anywhere now.
This is based in Ann Arbor.
In Ann Arbor,
right,
yeah. They're doing fabulous, and they're probably one of our best portfolio companies. But they're essentially, you know, replacing the old RSA security tokens. And now if you want to authenticate yourself online, there's a lot to it. And so if Brian's logging into a particular unit from China,
I was just going to say, if it helps me remember my password, I'll be very happy.
Perfect.
Brian Nider is a partner at Lead Edge Capital. Thanks very much for joining us. Coming up, we've got a lot going on. Politics, Policy, and Power, Amy Morris, Alan Burga, plus an interview. Tom Keene sits down with former Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke. This is Bloomberg.